It's good to see everyone out tonight. What a blessing for us to be able to come together as a Christian family to worship God tonight in praise, singing praises to Him. Often we forget how blessed we are after our lesson Sunday night. It would be kind of tough for us to forget, though. All drove here in our nice cars, come in a nice air-conditioned building, sitting on fairly comfortable seats. Truly blessed. To be able to come together and worship God tonight. Colossians 3:2 says, "Set your mind on things above and not on things of this earth." And on Wednesday night, that's exactly what we need to be doing. We need to be doing it every day that we possibly can, focusing on things above. But Wednesday night, we have an opportunity tonight to sing praises to God. Let's focus on things above, put away thoughts of work or any other thing that we might have going on, and focus on things above and lift our voices in praise to God as we sing out tonight. I appreciate Andrew. You got several of the men together to lead songs. So as we sing tonight, let's really focus on the words that we're singing so that we can praise God as well as we possibly can.
First song tonight, be number 664. 664. He took my burdens all away. On Zion's glorious summit, let's all stand as we sing this song.
Amen. We'll be singing the first, second, and fourth verses. After this, we'll have our opening prayer.
Our holy heavenly Father, full of righteousness, greatness, goodness, the one who created us, the one who loves us. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son to this wicked world to die for us. Thank you, Father, for the place he's gone to prepare for us, that one day we can be in that lovely Zion, singing praises to you forever and forever. Knowing, Father, that it's a place of holiness and goodness, we ask that you would forgive us, that you extend your grace and mercy to us, your love, that we may be clean and pure before you, that we may strive every day to live as you would have us live. We're thankful, Father, for everything you have done for us. We're thankful for the church here at Eastside, for each member. We're thankful that the Boyd family is back in Alabama with us. We're thankful for the good work they did on the trip while they were gone. Pray for Rebecca while she's still away, that she'll return safely when her time is ready. Father, you bless us with so much, not only spiritually, but also physically. We have so much. We're grateful to you for it, knowing that everything we have comes from you. Father, there are those among us who are sick. There are those who are relatives and friends of those here who are sick. We pray for each one. We pray for Anna Price, for Will Crafts, for Pete, brothers that I'm not thinking of. We're mindful, Father, of the Rex and Zim, Russell's brother, Tidmore's sister. We pray that you will be with them. Father, this country is in such disarray. This world's in such disarray. Missiles being launched, threats being made. We know, Father, you're in control. One day this earth will melt, but it'll be when you're ready for it. We pray, Father, that you will be with those who are making decisions that affect our daily lives, whether it be anywhere around the world or especially those who lead our country. We pray for our president, his staff, for Congress, for the judges, for those on the state and local level who affect our lives with the decisions they make. Father, I pray that you'll give them wisdom. They will find an opportunity to seek you and what they do. We're thankful, Father, we can come here tonight to sing praises to you. We pray that we will meditate on the words we're singing, that we will encourage and edify one another, and that we'd be built up together. Bless us as we continue our service. In Christ's name, amen.
Number 2 in the supplement, Higher Ground. We'll sing all 3 verses.
I'm pressing on the upper way. You have some pain.
Thank you. 196, How Beautiful Heaven Must Be.
Number 251, 251, I'm happy today. Sing all five verses.
I'm singing today.
Number 22.
Number 136 in the supplement, You Are My Strength.
Out of the supplement, 100, Lamb of God. All three verses, please, of 100 in the supplement.
Your only Son, your sins to God, but you have sinned. Number 626, It Is Well With My Soul. I invite you all to stand. We'll sing the chorus once after the last verse.
Number 77 in the supplement. 77.
Thank you.
Number 92 in the supplement. 92, both verses.
We are alone and you are.
In the first chapter of Proverbs, Solomon addresses one of the most important choices that a young person can make, and that is the choice, their choice of friends. Proverbs comes from Proverbs, the first chapter, verses 8 through 19. It's unfortunate that such an important decision in life has to be made by those who lack the experience and wisdom to help them make the proper choices. Children, that is why parents need to help you choose your friends. Solomon instructs us that, in Proverbs 12:26, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. Much of the book of Proverbs is devoted to warning young men about choosing their companions. Proverbs 13:20 says, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed." It's been observed in school situations that often the worst acting children are the ones that are the easiest to make friends with. And friendships, as we all know, are so important. But we must not let them develop by chance. It is far worse to to have the wrong kind of friends than to have no friends at all. Now let that sink in. It's worse to have and be associated with the wrong kind of friends than it would be for you to be a loner. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, Paul warns us that evil company will corrupt good morals because friends have so much influence over us, and vice versa. We have influence over our friends. Their ideas soon become our ideas. I'm sure you, Mo, at least you older ones, have heard the phrase that birds of a feather flock together. And isn't this what Solomon expressed? The same thought in Proverbs 13:20 when he said, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed." We mentioned that friends have much influence over us. There is power in influence. Webster defines the word influence as the power of persons or things to affect others, seen only in its effects. Even though the word influence is only found a very few times in most versions of the Bible, its meaning is really applied throughout the Bible. In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:13, Jesus tells his disciples that they are the salt of the earth. There are many interesting things that you can say about that figure of speech that he used. Salt is totally worthless while sitting on a shelf. It has to be applied for it to have value. But salt can also lose its saltiness. And when it loses its power to flavor, it is good for nothing and it must be discarded. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, Paul told the brethren at Corinth they were an epistle of Christ, known and read by all men. Now think about that. Paul wrote many epistles, words to encourage, to tell Christians how to live. But he told them that you are an epistle and you are read by all men. Now, whether we like it or not, basically every Christian is an advertisement for Christ. Because in 2 Corinthians 5:20, we read, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making us his appeal, making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Men of the world will judge Christ by the character of his followers." That's so true, isn't it? Have you ever considered what type of an advertisement you are? In our hymn book, hymn number 460, it's titled "The World's Bible." Verse 2 says, "We are the only Bible the careless world will read. We are the sinner's gospel. We are the scoffer's creed. We are the Lord's last message given in deed and word." What if the type is crooked? What if the print is blurred? Think about that. People see us and they make judgments about Christ based on what they might see in us. The majority of worldly people will pay very little attention to what we actually say, but our actions will be highly scrutinized. When they think of our character and our reputation, our actions will speak louder than our words. You think about that. Our actions will speak louder than the words that we say. As most of you know, our daughter has been deaf since birth. We are often amazed at her ability to see the hearts of individuals. I'm not meaning that physical pumper, you know what I mean. Though she can't always hear what people are saying, doesn't usually hear at all what people are saying, she's a pretty good judge of character. Many years ago, a deaf friend sent us this poem that I believe explains the situation very well. When you see this poem, I want you to think of how others view you. It's called A Deaf Child's Prayer. Though I am deaf, I plainly see. When a face in anger shouts at me, though true it is, I do not hear, all notes of kindness to me are clear. I have the sense of open eyes. Few friends or foes can be surprised. I know them fairly through and through, not by what they say, but by what they do. I ask you tonight, what kind of an ambassador for Christ are you? I ask myself, what kind am I? Can people see Christ in us? We may not be a good personal worker, but our daily example can do very good personal work. Personal work for good or personal work for bad. So I ask you tonight, what kind of an ambassador for Christ are you? What kind of an influence are you having on others? Do your best to be the salt that Christ talked about. If you're here tonight and you've never obeyed the gospel, or you have obeyed the gospel, if you are in any way subject to the invitation, we bid you come to the front while we stand and while we sing.